Travel presented by Vintage Guitar Magazine with your host, me, James Patrick Regan, otherwise known as Jimmy from the Deadlies. And today I'm speaking with David and Howard, the Bellamy brothers. In our conversation, they discuss their home in Florida and the Brahma cattle they raise. They discuss their current tour schedule, which is extreme, and the logistics of their tour. And they talk about their 50th anniversary show at the Ryman Auditorium in Nashville on June 25th. They tell us about their connection to Ovation Guitars after their gear was stolen while on tour with Loggins and Messina in the 70s. And they also talk about the guitars they're using now on the road, Parker Fly Guitars. They discuss their former bassist and lifelong friend, Wally Dentz, who unfortunately passed away just a couple weeks ago. And they describe their early influences, gospel and early country, and the early English bands. And they talk about playing with their dad, who is also musical. And they talk about the early incarnations of their bands that eventually became the Bellamy Brothers. They tell us about the work they did early on, working for and with Jim Stafford and Gallagher, and David's song, Spiders and Snakes, which Jim recorded, and the song, Let Your Love Flow, which jump-started their career. They talk about doing TV work when TV was a very big deal, and they discuss how Conway Twitty helped them break into the Nashville establishment. They discuss the members of their band and plans for a new album to celebrate their 50th anniversary. They also talk about their other project, a line of marijuana called Old Hippie Stash, that's distributed by Trulieve. To find out more about David and Howard, you can go to their website, BellamyBrothers.com. That's BellamyBrothers.com. And they're on all the socials. Please subscribe, like, comment, share, and most of all, review this podcast. I'd really appreciate it. And please support Vintage Guitar Magazine and all the wonderful things they do for us guitar players, because they do so many wonderful things for us guitar players. Oh, and I have a Patreon account. It's patreon.com/haveguitarwilltravelpodcast. Here's my friends, David and Howard.
I have David and Howard.
You do.
Right. Hey, on. Man. Very good. It's an honor to speak with both of you.
Thank you.
Thank you, man.
Yeah. Are you guys still live in Florida?
Yes, we are in Florida right now in Howard's house.
Oh, right on. That's
almost awesome. 80 degrees. We got the doors open, airing the house out.
All right. Very good. Did the ice storm affect you guys at all?
Well, not like it did Nashville, but it got cold here. We had a lot of cold weather.
We had frost, for sure. We didn't have any ice, but some of the tropical plants don't look so – they so look happy. Pretty sad.
Are you guys still raising Brahma bulls?
We are.
Yep, we sure are. I'm looking at them right now out the window.
How many head do you have?
Oh, we have about 65, 70 head.
Wow.
You know, it's just a little herd around the house.
Do you sell the calves, or what do you do with them?
Yeah, we sell them for breeding purposes, you know, breeding stock and that sort of thing. Yes, yep. It's good in the cattle world right now. Prices are high. as you know, when you go to the grocery store,
absolutely.
Right?
Absolutely. Absolutely. You guys are doing weekend tours?
We are. We did 140 shows last year.
Wow. Wow.
That's what I said.
That's incredible.
Yeah. And got about that many for this year going on.
Okay. And so if it's in the U.S., are you guys like leaving in buses right there from your house, or how does that work?
Well, our tour bus stays, and our band are mostly in Nashville, and okay. we usually just fly up and jump on the bus with them.
Okay. Yeah. That makes for a long departure.
Yes, it does.
And are most of the majority of the shows are in Texas and Oklahoma, or is it, or am I?
No, they're spread out everywhere. Okay. Just, you know, all over the place. Yeah. We're on the way this weekend. We're on the way to Ohio and West Virginia.
Okay. Wow. Yeah. Wow. And you just played the Grand Ole Opry. Am I correct?
Yeah. Yeah,
we did just before the ice storm. Barely made it out of town.
Yeah. Yeah, we were at the Opry when it started hitting.
Oh, okay. Okay.
So we took off really fast.
And is that the first time that you've played there, headlined?
Oh, no. No, we've been playing the Opry a long, long time. But we're playing the Ryman this year, though, for our 50th anniversary, and that's the first time we've headlined it.
Okay. All right. And when's that?
That'll be June 25th.
Okay. Fantastic. Fantastic. Then, so do you guys have to leave like on Thursday and fly out, or are you leaving early Friday morning?
Well, we're actually leaving Wednesday because we're playing Thursday, Friday, Saturday.
Okay.
But we go up like on a late flight Wednesday, jump on the bus, and wake up wherever we are supposed to be, usually, hopefully.
And early on, you guys were playing, you were like one of the first bands to be using Ovation guitars.
Right.
How'd you get hooked up with Ovation, and what did you think of those round backs?
Well, you know, a funny story about that. We actually got all of our equipment stolen.
Really?
On the end of the Loggins and Messina tour.
Okay.
I mean, everything, the whole truck.
The truck, all of it.
Just cleaned out. There was a...
Wow.
There was an old Everly Brothers Gibson in there, and there was an old Gibson mandolin, you know, that said the Gibson on it. It was so a really old...
Yeah, yeah.
Some really nice vintage Congas, you know, all sorts of things were in that truck. It got stolen. And at that time, we were pretty broke. Uh-huh. We had lots of gear, but we had no money. But we actually looked around, and Ovation offered to sponsor us.
Okay.
So, somebody from our crew, I can't remember who
it was. It was Wally. We had a golf game with the guy that was running Ovation.
That's right.
Connecticut or somewhere like
that. A very drunken golf game. But... But they offered to sponsor us and got us some. Well, we started it with those. I remember I had that black Ovation, and then we had the Adamas.
Yeah. You guys were like one of the first people using the Adamases.
Got one of those here.
We do. As far as the shape, you know, it's kind of like making love to a buxom girl. you know, you had to reach around. So it was a different position. I still have a occupational bad arm, I think, from playing that.
Yeah, and you can't sit down with them because they'll slip right out of your lap.
Yeah, they slide right away, yeah.
And so what kind of guitars are you guys using now?
Parker Flies.
Okay, wow.
They're the exact opposite of Ovation.
Yeah.
They're thin and light.
Yes.
And it's kind of those... A prototype that Joni Mitchell played.
Yeah,
you know, that's some of the old ones that we still play, and they're great.
You can really make one sound like almost anything. You know, I mean, it can be. We've got them strung up. You know, to where they're real stringy sounding, like acoustic.
Yeah.
You know, we use Fender chorus amps.
Okay.
And but they work really well. Plus, like Howard mentioned, they're really light, you know.
Yeah.
And we both have guitar shoulders, you know. our chiropractor will attest to that. You know?
How'd you get hooked up with Parker?
One of the guys from there, that might have been Wally too.
It was Wally. Yeah, Wally was our. You know, Wally Dentz was his name. He just passed about 2 weeks ago.
Oh, I'm sorry.
He was with us 35 years.
Wow.
And he was, there'll never be another one like it. He was great. He just loved people and loved life and loved music. And uh-huh. He was always meeting someone, making some kind of deal. You know? He brought that deal to us, and we tried these things, and since then, I've never really been able to use anything else but those Parkers.
Yeah, we've been using them a long time now.
I've had mine 25 years.
Wow. Okay. So, wow, that's great. Early on, who were your guys, like, who were you guys looking up to? I'm talking in high school, who were you guys listening to?
Well, in high school, probably a little bit of everything. You know, we grew up. I mean, our basic beginning was like kind of gospel and country, you know, Jimmy Rogers.
Sure.
And old gospel.
Well, that's what we played with our father.
We played with our dad.
He was a huge Jimmy Rogers fan, so he knew all those songs.
Uh-huh. Then we grew up, you know, we were exposed. That was a really good era for music. You know, we were exposed to everything.
Sure.
You know, from singer-songwriters, you know, and we listened to Haggard, you know, back... I think we had an uncle who used to wake us up in the morning playing Haggard.
Okay.
And of course we love the Beatles and the Stones, all the British Invasion stuff.
Sure.
We love R&B music. You know, I backed up Eddie Floyd and Little Anthony.
Oh, wow.
You know, our local band backed them up when they came to Florida to do a date.
That's fantastic.
So we kind of got into that old, circuit there, but we knew R&B bands and country bands. We knew a lot of different kind of bands.
Yeah. With your father, were you guys playing out, playing clubs and stuff?
No, we played just local whatever, Rattlesnake Roundup, you know, stuff like that. Just community stuff. Uh-huh. We didn't play.
He played in a band. He played in a band with two Czechoslovakian brothers, and
wow.
And it was kind of a polka Texas swing band. He played guitar and dobro,
accordion in it. You know,
that's fantastic.
Yeah.
When did you guys start with your own band?
Well, we did. We had several incarnations there going on because we played. You know, our family played together. And some, you know, because sometimes our sister would sing along with us and our dad and us. And so we had a little family group that would just play like family reunions and stuff like that.
Yeah.
And then I had a band in high school called The Accidents. And then Howard was in the FFA quartet.
Okay.
So we
sang barbershop music.
In barbershop. Right. Yeah. And so, you know, we had several things. And then most of the band that I was in, you know, somebody would always, either their girlfriend or their mother or something, get mad at them and wouldn't want to let them be in.
For good reason.
Yeah. And so when we started getting like gigs, like real gigs, Howard, we drafted Howard. He was a cattle buyer. and we drafted him because me and him sang all these songs together anyway. Yeah. So we had a band together that toured the South called Jericho.
Okay.
And we did lots and lots of those old, what they call skull orchards back in those days.
Were you playing your own stuff or were you playing covers?
We played covers mainly because, you know, that's how you
got the gig.
Got the gigs, you know. Yeah. At the top 40 and stuff.
Yeah.
But we were starting to write some and throw some things in every now and then.
How did the record label find out about you? Was it Curb that signed you the first time or
Yeah, there was, you know, where we lived, there was like nobody. We had never heard of anybody in the record at all. I mean, we heard, the closest we got in the record business was listening to the radio.
Uh-huh.
And so there was one guy over in St. Pete who had produced some novelty records, like he did the Royal Guardsman and like Me and You and A Dog Named Boo.
Oh, sure.
And all that stuff. And so we kind of started to get in with him, and I wrote this song called Spiders and Snakes, and he was producing Jim Stafford, and Jim saw the label and saw the title of the song and liked it.
Uh-huh.
And so that's why he ended up recording Spiders and Snakes. Yeah. So
had you met Jim Stafford before that?
No, actually we haven't. We'd met this producer, and he was a strange,
very unusual,
unusual fellow. And we knew him, but we didn't know Jim at that time until after he had recorded Spiders and Snakes.
Okay. Yeah. And when you guys, so you guys recorded your first record, was it immediately out on the road?
Well, it was close. See, we cut Let Your Love Flow. Howard was on the road with Jim because at the time he cut Spiders and Snakes, his road manager was Gallagher, the comedian.
Oh, really?
So Gallagher was starting his road stuff, and they needed somebody to go on the road. So Howard went on the road with Jim, and I moved into Jim's house in L.A.
Okay.
to work on his TV show. And so then we were still working on our stuff. And when we cut Let Your Love Flow, that was through Neil Diamond's band.
Uh-huh.
We cut Let Your Love Flow. Then it took off, and we started cutting the album.
There you are.
So Howard, you had moved to L.A. already?
Yeah, well,
we're staying in L.A.
Jim and me were all over the place.
Okay.
It was just the two of us traveling. So we were just one-nighters all over the country, you know, did that for about 3 years.
Okay. Did you already have the record deal, or was this pre-record deal?
No, it happened during that.
It happened, yeah, during that. Yeah, they were on the road with Charlie Rich and the Bee Gees and
oh, you name
just
it.
Just all sorts of acts for, you know, country and pop and everything.
Uh-huh. Wow. That's crazy. And so when you guys eventually did go on the road, what kind of were you playing with just about everybody, like any kind of genre?
When we started out, when Warner Brothers, you know, when Love Flow took off so big, I remember they called up and said, "Hey, you know, we got you guys the opening slot of the Loggins and Messina." It was their final tour together.
Okay.
And so so we actually went out with Loggins and Messina for quite a while, and we toured with Mac Davis.
Yeah.
You know, he had the TV show going on.
Of course.
And then we were just fixing to go and into the Beach Boys tour. That's when the equipment got stolen.
Oh, wow.
And which set us back a ways.
Yeah.
But you know, so we ended up touring like with just all sorts of acts, country and pop and everything.
Yeah.
And the same in Europe, because the record broke really big in Europe, so we played with everybody in Europe.
So you guys did a lot of TV shows, TV work as well, right?
Yeah.
Like Midnight, was it Midnight Special you guys were on?
Yeah. Yeah.
How about Don Kirshner's?
Yeah, we did that.
Yeah. What was it like? What was it, a lot of stress? I mean, I can only imagine you guys being younger. And TV was really a big thing back then. Was there a lot of stress when you're, you know, doing the tapings?
Well, they used to do them. They used to block them off where because, you know, when the show came on, it looked like all the groups were playing like a show, like one after another. But they used to block it off really where there would be 2 or 3 hour segments of getting one act done. You know, they'd get that done and then they'd go on and do another act. So it really wasn't that bad, because it just kind of blocked off your segment and you ended up on the show with everybody else wherever they put you.
Yeah, but I'm just thinking of stage fright.
Yeah, I remember when we did Wolfman Jack.
Yeah.
We did what's his name?
Bob Uecker.
Bob Uecker was on the show with us, and it was his first TV appearance.
Wow.
And it was just he was the one who was scared to death. and we were pretty green ourselves. We were just trying to just tell, oh man, don't worry about it. Just be cool. You know, we were so wild and crazy then, you know, not much scared us. Whatever it was, we just dove into it, you know. Took it. It's like all of it. We just took our shot. When something opened, we just took our shot, you know. And
We used to do those European shows that were Eurovision.
Uh-huh.
And they were live.
Yeah.
And they were there's only 2 or 3 channels in all of Europe at the time, you know, and Germany had all the big, big television channels. And we'd do one. We went to Europe. We went to Europe sort of unknown and did a TV show and had trouble getting out of the hotel the next day.
Oh, my goodness.
So it actually can happen that way.
Well, there are only 3 stations.
There's only 3 stations, and everybody sees them.
Yeah.
Everybody sees it, you know. So
not like today. You can't find anything.
Did you guys meet Bill Graham here in San Francisco?
I don't know if we ever – I don't recall meeting
Bill Graham.
I don't recall it either.
Did the Nashville establishment, did they embrace you pretty much right out of the gate, or did it take a while?
No, they didn't. You know, I'll tell you how we got into the Nashville establishment was Conway Twitty.
Okay.
Conway, because when we had, you know, after we had Love Flow, you know, we had a lot of trouble with our label in the meantime, but, uh-huh. you know, just fighting with the record labels. But when we finally got some of that straightened out and we cut Beautiful Body, it took off in country. And Conway's agency offered to book us.
Okay.
You know, and there weren't that many real long hairs in Nashville or dope smokers or anything. So Conway liked us because we had the best production. We had the best production in all of country music.
We were broke, but we had our own truck and sound system.
Because
in country in those days, you could literally be playing at a fair through a horn on a post.
Oh yeah,
it was awful.
It still exists.
Yeah. So we went neck deep in debt, but we got an old box truck and we had a really, really good PA, and that's one of the reasons Conway took us out.
Yeah, I believe he hired us because we had a good sound system.
But we got to be buddies with him, you know, got to know him real well, and we probably did 100 shows together.
Wow.
Right. And so that probably got us accepted into country more than anything else.
Okay. By almost the late 80s, you guys were pretty regular on TNN. I remember seeing you guys on that a lot.
Yeah, we're on there a lot.
Well, TNN was great. I was really great. I wish they had something else like that now for country.
Yeah, it was. I mean, it was you. There was Marty Stewart, who was coming up.
Marty, yeah.
And then the Riders in the Sky were there a lot.
Yeah, absolutely.
It was a good thing.
Yeah. Ralph Emery used to call us the Baloney Brothers.
So and how did you guys develop? You obviously went to Europe early on, but it seems like you still have a real stronghold in Europe, where a lot of the other acts don't get over there.
I think that one of the reasons we established there, it wasn't any genius on our part, but we enjoyed going, and I think that was one of the secrets was going there, and going there regularly because. A lot of people ended up thinking we were a European act because we played so much in Europe and we had records out there so much. So, but we still play Europe quite a bit. We're going back at the end of March.
Do you guys speak any Swiss?
We speak a little German. We were in Europe so much and Germany so much at one time. I actually got married. I say I speak defensive German.
You guys are just a little bit older than I am, but what's it like touring at this stage of your life?
Oh, it's interesting.
Yeah. Well, our habits are quite a bit different. We don't smoke as much, but we do the gummies, before bedtime. Now
the drugs after the show. Yeah, instead of before the show.
You pace yourself, but you learn how to pace yourself, and getting your sleep and rest is the big trick, the whole band knows. Do not wake me before noon. Just don't.
How'd you guys get your band? Like, who put it all together for you?
Well, it's kind of evolved, over the years. We have people like Howard was saying, Wally was with us 35 years, and he used to be one of the people who would find members if somebody dropped out or whatever.
Sure.
And it was really good. And our guitar player Randy, that's still with us now. He's been with us over 30 years.
Wow.
And Jim, I guess, is now going on, 15 years?
15 years, steel player, yeah.
And even Randy, our bass player and our road manager now, who's also pretty good at finding players, he's been with us.
We're like the mafia. When you get in, and you can't get out.
Yeah. You have to be careful telling us you want to go on the road because
careful what you ask for.
Because we really do go on the road.
Yeah. Are you guys still actively writing songs and stuff?
Yeah, we have a new album coming out for our 50th anniversary, actually.
Oh, right on.
That we pretty much wrote.
Just did the last vocals yesterday. So.
Okay. Fantastic. Yeah.
I think we wrote all of except that one song we wrote, the Buffett song.
Yeah, that's right. We did it.
Do you have any idea when it's going to be released?
Well, we're hoping that right now it looks like the single and the video is going to be around the 1st of April, and the album's going to be about between the middle of June and the 1st of July, somewhere around there.
Yeah. And are there any little tongue-in-cheek songs like some of your earlier songs?
Oh yeah.
Of course.
Absolutely. they're all over the place.
It seems like you guys, you have a lot of humor or a sense of humor, let's say. And you also work for Jim Stafford, who had a sense of humor, and Gallagher was in the picture there.
Oh Lord, Gallagher, yeah.
Yeah,
living with Gallagher was a whole nother.
For some reason, we've always bumped into comedians. I don't know what the deal is. But we have friends that are Carrot Top's a friend of ours.
Oh, right on.
And we go to his shows when we're in Vegas. And we've always just run across crazy people like that have ended up being friends with us.
Well, sense of humor in this world today, especially if you don't have, I feel sorry for you because if you can't laugh at this, you're in trouble.
you have a line of weed, is that correct?
Yeah, the Old Hippie Stash.
Yeah. And is it available only in Florida or is it available everywhere?
Well, right now it's Florida and West Virginia, but looks like we'll be expanding pretty rapidly here in this year, so it's a good thing.
And is it flower or is it gummies?
Both.
Okay. Yeah.
Flower. We have several strains of flower at our top strain is Rattler,
Okay.
And then we have a gummy. We have one gummy that our company has several strains. It's Old Hippie Stash, and we're distributed by Trulieve, which is the big, you know, big conglomerate.
Yep.
They're all over the place. So, but yeah, we have a gummy that it's a cherry lime gummy.
Okay. Very good. Is it profitable for you?
How's that?
Is it profitable for you?
Absolutely, yeah.
Okay, good. I'm glad to hear it. Yeah. What's more profitable, that or the music business?
I can't tell you that.
Okay.
It's a lot easier once you get it established.
Sure.
Go to the mailbox. You don't have to chase it.
I'm not familiar with the laws there in Florida or West Virginia, but is it you have to go into is there a special store where they sell weed?
We're still right now a medical state.
Okay.
Where you have to have a medical
card, yeah.
Card to get it. So you're technically a patient when you go in.
Yep.
And West Virginia is kind of the same place, but there's several things on the ballot they're trying to change that, which is over 21.
It's only a matter of time.
Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
Well, that's great. That's fantastic. And so outside of music and touring and what else do you guys do for fun to relax?
We don't have too much fun. What you want for fun? I think all of our projects keep us busy, you know, and, you know, we still have the studio in our front yard. It's down in my front yard. And when we get it, we write a song, we go in there and record it, you know, and we come up with things for the weed promotion. You know, my wife and our business accountant help us with, they help us run that.
Yeah.
So there's always like projects going on, you know.
You ought to see our Old Hippie Stash van.
Yeah.
Oh yeah, we got the old. Hippie.
It's seriously cool.
Yeah, the Old Hippie Stash mobile. Yeah, it's a hand painted hippie mobile.
Right on.
So we were always got something to keep us busy.
Yeah, yeah, that's fantastic. And so, if people want to find out about either the music or the weed, where do they go?
Oh, well, we're on all the platforms, you know, like Facebook and Instagram and X and all that stuff. So we're out there. It's not hard to find us, really.
And you guys have your own, you have a website, right? BillandMeadBrothers.com?
Oh, yeah, of course. Uh-huh.
Yep, right.
Yeah, all of our tour dates are on BillandMeadBrothers.com/tour.
Uh-huh.
They're on that. And I mentioned the Ryman date. That's the 25th of June. You can get those tickets at theryman.com.
Okay, cool.
It's going to be an anniversary show.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. That's going to be a big one.
Yeah.
Have you played the Ryman before?
Yes, but we haven't done a headlining. We played the Opry there.
Uh huh. Yeah.
Because they have the Opry there.
When they had the floods, they were doing shows there, you know. The floods hit downtown.
Yeah.
We were doing a show at the Ryman then.
Yeah. Do you guys, for the most part, I mean, the Ryman's on Lower Broadway, but do you guys, for the most part, stay away from Lower Broadway?
Well, yeah.
Absolutely. Yeah. We avoid it at all costs. You know?
It's a little crazy down there, but everybody has fun.
Yeah. With the exception of Roberts.
Right.
There you go.
Well, it's been wonderful talking to you guys. I really appreciate your time.
You bet, man. Good talking to you.
And I live north of San Francisco, so if you guys make it out this way, I'm going to come see you.
Marin County?
Napa County.
Napa County, okay.
Yeah, we have some old Haight-Ashbury stories way back.
Let me hear some. Go ahead, tell me.
Oh, yeah. Well, yeah, I was a hippie in a van. I just kind of left society and took off in a van with the mayor's daughter.
Let me tell this story. He left Florida in a Volkswagen van with a garbage bag full of weed and a pit bulldog and the mayor's daughter.
Oh my goodness.
Yeah. Quite an adventure.
So
but I ended up in San Francisco somehow. A lot different in those days.
Yeah. What part of the city?
Well, we were hung out in Haight-Ashbury there for quite a while, you know. We got as hippied as we could get.
You lived up in Tahoe a while
too. I lived in Tahoe too, for about 6 months.
That's beautiful. Tahoe's beautiful.
Oh, Loved it. Yeah.
And any run-ins with the Grateful Dead while you were in the city?
No, but we did a radio show with Bob Weir.
Oh, did you?
Yeah, yeah, when they first opened Sirius.
Yeah.
When
yeah.
Sirius kicked off, they had an act from like several genres.
Uh-huh.
And they had us from country, and they had him, and they had a rapper there too, and I can't remember who he was off the top of my head, but he was real big at the moment. Uh-huh. But we were so yeah, that was kind
of
cool.
Yeah,
he's a good guy. Yeah.
Well, thanks, guys.
All right, man. Good talking to you.
Nice talking to you guys.
Yeah, you too.
I hope you know safe travels around the world.
Thank you.
Appreciate that.
Yeah.
All right.
Take it easy. Bye bye. Thanks for listening to Have Guitar Will Travel. You can catch up on all the things I'm doing at thedeadlies.com, and I'm on all the social media platforms as well. And please support Vintage Guitar and all the wonderful things they do, because they do many, many wonderful things for us guitar players. Thanks. Please subscribe. Please tell a friend, and I'll see you guys next week. Bye, guys. Thank you.